Choir, you can sit in these empty seats up here. Well, amen. I appreciate you parents coming and supporting your young people in this. To be a Buildings and Grounds will meet immediately after the service in my office. If you should know if you're on that committee or not, and while other preparations are made or while people are going through the line, that committee will be meeting. You'll get to eat, and you'll especially get to bid on a fire cake. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4. It is said that there is not anything that you can take to heaven with you. But there is something that you can take with you. You can take relationships. You can build relationships, godly relationships, here on this earth. And you'll get to see those folks in heaven if they're born again. And so I want to visit with you today about building relationships in the church and in your family. And so for the next while, we're going to be looking closely at the family. And we're starting this new series on Monday night with the men. And I want to urge you to be a part of that. You may have noticed that my hand did not come up. I'll be somewhere else on Monday night, but for all of the rest of the time, I will be in those sessions. I thought how good it was that Shane and Nathan were taking that and running with it. I felt like the pastor who got called on the carpet for going to the train station every day and watching the train take off. And the deacons got concerned about it. I finally called him in and said, Pastor, you're doing a good job. It's just there's some people in town that are concerned about you. Every day you go down to the train station and sit and watch the train take off. Well, he said, I can explain that. He said, it's just so amazing to me to see anything that big moving and I'm not pushing it. I am amazed that these young guys are taking over the reins and they are pushing and pulling on stuff that that I don't even have to be pushing on. And so I'm very grateful for that, but I am very much for it, and I'll be there during that time. Ephesians 4, look at verse 29. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, and you have an opportunity to have the word of God in your hand. And how great an opportunity that is. Ephesians, as Paul writes this letter to the church, he is talking about relationships, and especially in the family. And so that's what we're going to focus in on today, is your relationship to your family, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, and to other Christians in the church. So let me read it for you, and you follow along in your translation, whatever that might be. Hope it's not New World, but anyway, whatever other translation that you might have, let's follow along. 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. In other words, do not open your mouth unless it's going to build someone up. Now, do we need to classify ourselves here some way? Do we need to take some self-examination and think about the things that has come out of our mouth in the last week or two or the last month? That every word that comes out of our mouth is meant to build up? Well, I was talking about someone else. I wasn't talking about the person I was talking to. But here I believe that it means everyone. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but it's to be used for edifying. That word really means to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Now we could preach on that verse all day long, but let's continue. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Aren't you proud of that? That should make a Baptist shout, isn't it? That we're not responsible for keeping ourselves saved. You are sealed. You are sealed unto the day of redemption by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, boy, he gives a list, doesn't he? Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today, God, I pray for anointing from your Holy Spirit. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth would not be of me, but they would be of you. And every person, young or old, that's here today might start anew. That we might start from this point in building those relationships with our spouses, with our children, with our friends, and those that are not our friends. And that we might be a church that glorifies you. That we might be salt and light in our community. That we might be known as a church of love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, a great deal of our youth have already went out, but we still have a lot of young folks here today. We've got some young fathers and young mothers that they're young to me. They're the age of my kids, so are younger. And so I want to share this with you, and even younger than that, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And look at the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. It's in here. I know they didn't move it. Ecclesiastes 12, and look down at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When? While you're young. While you're young. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. Now some older folks are going to be able to identify with every phrase in this. Now some of you young ones will say, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, the olive tree has not yet bloomed on my head. But it will. Or it'll turn loose one. And so while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now we'd think there never will be a time when that will come, but it will come. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. That's talking about your arms and your legs and your eyes. A little later on, he's going to talk about your hearing. But right here, he's talking about those mighty men that hold you up are going to weaken. And those arms are going to weaken. and your eyes are going to weaken. You may not even wear glasses now, but there'll most likely come a time when you will. And if you want to see anything, you'll have to wear bifocals. And then if you want to see better, you'll have to wear trifocals. It's coming. Those of you that haven't hit 40 yet, haven't hit the bifocal age yet, but it'll come. It'll come. And here the Bible says, serve the Lord. Start serving the Lord now. Make a decision now while you're young and you have the energy. Make it now. While things are going well for your health, make the decision now about serving the Lord. Now, I believe that you're to serve the Lord all of your life. But some of you are waiting. You're going to say, well, I'm going to do that later. I've got plenty of time. I'm going to do that later. I'm going to serve Him later. I'm going to start going to church later. I'm going to start being faithful. I remember talking to a man in this community. He was building a barn. I was there where he was working at, and I said, they had just moved to the community, and I said, I'd like to give you all an invitation to church. And I think they had come the Sunday before, and I said, I'd like to see you get in here and go to work for the Lord. And he said, that's really the plan. It just never has come to pass. It just never has come to pass. Is that your situation? It just never has come to the pass yet for you. You're going to do that, but you just haven't made the decision yet. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, and when the sound of the grinding is low, I've gotten there. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Oh, you can get some hearing aids, but they won't do the job. You won't hear it the same way that you did when your hearing was good. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Are you there? I'm there. And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree, I've got that, shall flourish. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, everything's too hard. And desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourner goes about the streets. Or even the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now I could spend a whole lot of time talking about what all those meant, but I don't want to spend all my time. I want to get into the relationship part of this. What benefit is the stuff that you are gathering? What benefit is it? What benefit is the job that you have? What benefit is it? Now you can say, well, it pays the bills. I'm getting ready for retirement. I'm putting this so much back, so whenever that time finally comes when I can retire, I'll have a setback to be able to live on that. My dad worked all of his life paying in the Social Security. I asked my wife the other day if she knew what they used to call that. She said, well, they've always called it Social Security. I said, no, not when I was growing up. They called it old age pension. You draw that when you get old. My dad drew one check and passed away. You see, time is passing right on. And a lot of times we will spin our wheels the majority of our time building things up and working at this job or working to get this job and gathering up. For what? For what? Look at Ecclesiastes back. I folded mine up. You probably did too. But go back to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ecclesiastes 3. And look at verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. See, life is filled with all of those circumstances for us. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's times or situations where you wouldn't do that. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now look at verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, occupied to work. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, look with me at the book of James, the first chapter. So turn way over to the book of James. Hebrews, isn't this right, Bible drillers? We got any in here? Hebrews, James 1, look at verse 17. What profit is it? What profit is it? Look at verse 17. Every good gift, everything that is good, everything in life that is actually profitable for eternity, every good gift, everything good in your life. Now, you'd have to agree with me that there's many times that we have labored and strained and worked and connived for something that did not amount to a hill of beans. But here James says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now let's get to the main point. Of what benefit would a goal be? Of what benefit would the things that you have be if we could not share that gold with our family, with our spouse, or with our children, that we were all involved in that gold and that we were working together for that goal? It would be of no benefit. Now I want to get back to Ephesians now, and I want us to go to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians and talk about spending quality time with our family. In Ephesians 5 and verse 16, he uses a word that you and I may not use on a regular basis, but it is the word redeeming. Redeeming the time. You make the very most of it. You take the certificate and you cash it in. You redeem it. You make the very most of the time that you and I have. And we're limited in our time. We just read that we're growing old all the time. The olive tree is your head's turning gray. and your hearing is leaving, and your legs are going to get weak, and your arms are going to get weak, and your sight's going to get weak, and sooner or later you're going to die. But old age birthday candles just happen, and it comes up on us. And so we have an amount of time that God has given us. We have an allotted time. So what are we going to do with that allotted time that God has given us but to build relationships with our families? Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now I want to give you some ways that you can redeem the time. Some ways that to improve your quality time that you spend with your family. Number one, togetherness. Now, I've got some fingers pointing back here. You'll see as we get into this. Togetherness has to do with focused attention. Has to do with focused attention. When a father is sitting on the floor and he's rolling the ball back and forth to his little one who is sitting spraddle-legged waiting for him to roll the ball to him and rolling it back to him, his focus is not on the ball. But it's on the little one. Now, he doesn't say to this little one, "You're doing an awful job at rolling that ball. Now, roll it like I told you to roll it. I'm disappointed in you. I mean, you're 2 years old. You ought to know how to roll a ball." Would we do that? Well, we would if we was real stupid. But we would not, I used that S word again, didn't I? We would not, my grandson told my wife and I that his stepdad had used the S word. Gwen and I looked at one another and we thought, oh. And then Gwen, she's sharper than I am, of course, she said, "Was the S word stupid?" And he said, "Yes." But he focuses his attention on the little one. And he's watching that little one laugh. He's watching his face, and the little one's watching his face, and they're rolling it back and forth. It is focused attention. Now, why is it that as that little one grows up, that our focus gets away from their face and on what? Something else. Gets on whether or not they can knock the ball plumb out of the court or not. That is not what it's to be about. Our focus is to be on that individual, on their face. And some of you that know me pretty good know that it's very difficult for me sometimes to give my full attention. I have this disorder they tell me about. Attention deficit disorder. Can't pay attention. I tell people all the time, "I'm so broke I can't pay attention." You didn't get that. Focused attention is whenever we are looking at the individual. I sometimes even get tickled at myself on having so much trouble paying attention. Stuff distracts me. I just get distracted really, really easy. And someone will be in my office talking to me. If the door is not closed, the door needs to be closed. But if the door is not closed, and they're sitting in this chair talking to me, thinking that they have my full attention, I'm sitting in this chair over here trying to pay attention. And something's going on out there in the hallway, and I can't keep from looking to see what's going on out there, and pretty soon they're looking to see what's going on out there. Well, that's not full attention, is it? I'm not giving my full attention, so I need to focus. I have to work hard at focusing, and most of us do, on focusing my attention on what is going on. Secondly, if you're going to build relationships, you need to have quality conversations. Let me tell you what Gary Chapman gives a definition of quality conversation. He says, sympathetic dialogue, when two individuals are sharing their experiences, thoughts, feelings, and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted context. Uninterrupted. And that means that you're not waiting for that person to get through so you can say what you want to say. My wife doesn't want me to solve her problems. She just wants me to listen to her. I've been a jerk, guys, many, many times. I get an amen, not on my part, on your part. Listening intently to what the individual has to say, whether it is our children, whether it is our spouse, or whether or not it is our friend, that we are to focus our attention. If we're going to have a quality conversation with them, we're to focus our attention on that. We need to learn to listen. And learning to listen may not be easy. So I want to give you some steps. I want to give you some things that I think will help you and me to be a quality listener. Don't you like to be around folks that listen, that want to listen to you? I grew up in Gilbert, Arkansas, and our storekeeper was Lucille Baker. She was the best listener that I've ever seen in my life. I wanted to be like, and I still do, I want to be like Lucille. Now, she's passed away. I had the privilege of preaching her funeral, but I wanted to be, among young people especially, among children, I wanted to have the same attitude as Lucille Baker. I tell you, she ran the store, and she was the post person for the Gilbert Post Office. I don't know what they call them. Anyway, she was the postmaster. And she was interested in what every child had to say. And I could not hardly wait when something would happen at our house to go and tell Lucille. When they had hundreds of cows, her family had a farm also, and they had hundreds of cows. And we might have had two or three. But when the milk cow had a calf, we were so excited, and we couldn't wait to tell Lucille because we knew she'd be excited too. When the dog had pups, she would be excited because the old hound dog, had had a bunch of stray dog pups. And she wanted to know all about them, what color they were, and were they, how many of them were males, and how many of them was females, and how big were they, and what did they look like, and we just knew she was real interested in all that stuff. She was a great listener. I got the telephone numbers mixed up one time. And I was in Mena, Arkansas when I was courting Gwen. And I called to talk to Gwen. And I got the numbers mixed up and I called the Gilbert store. And Lucille picked up the phone and said hello. And I said, "Can I speak to Gwen, please?" And she said, "Lanny, she's not here." I mean, she knew my voice. She knew who I was courting. You and I need to be that way. We need to be that way. So I want to give us some tips to improve our listening skills. Number one, I'm working on it. Number one, maintain eye contact. That's very difficult for me, but it's very important for you, and it's very important for me that I maintain eye contact. I was talking to one of our guest this morning, and I said, look at me. And she probably thought, this guy's crazy. But I was practicing my sermon. Eye contact. Make eye contact. And don't do something else. Now, you may be, what do they call that when you can do two or three things? Or you think that you can do two or three things at once? Multitasking. Multitasking. You can't do it. You can't fry bacon and iron a shirt at the same time. Though there's people in this room think that you can. Don't do something else at the time you're supposed to be listening. Focus your attention on that. And then listen for feelings. And I work at this. I try to read the people and what they are really wanting to say. And sometimes I'll help them with the words. Now tell me really what's going on. Tell me really what's happening. Anger, disappointment, worry, confusion, love, hate. Observe their body language. And then refuse to interrupt. Let them get done. Now that's, boy, I can take some lessons here. Can you? I can take some lessons. Let me rush on. We need to learn to talk. Now you'd think I don't need any practice at that. And I tell folks sometimes you're going to have to go on or stop or something because I don't ever stop talking. But we need to learn to talk. We need to learn to express ourselves. We need to say how, in order to have good communication, we need to say really how we feel. Now there's sometimes that you'll need to guard yourself here. Have you seen the commercial where they asked Abe Lincoln asked his wife, asked him, does this dress make me look fat? And you know, Abe never told a lie. And he said, well, maybe just a little. Well, you don't want to get yourself caught in a deal like that. But you do need to be truthful. When you're having a conversation, whether it's with one of your children or if it's with a church member or your brother or sister or with your spouse, you need to be able to say, you know, that hurts my feelings when you say that. You make me feel unworthy when you say that to me. When you do that, it hurts my feelings. You make me feel unimportant when you leave the room while I'm talking. Quality activities. Here's a deal I can sure point some fingers back at myself on. Are you guys like me? You think that what you have to do is just so much more important than what anyone... It's so much important. When your wife wants to spend some quality time with you, and she's been spending quality time with you, and now it's time for you to spend quality time with her and do what she wants to do. You thought that she wanted to ride on the tractor with you. When that was not what she wanted to do. She wanted to go to Branson and go dress shopping or whatever. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, Bill Burns, on how many times people have been to Branson with their wife shopping. When we talk about spending quality time in order to build a relationship, I've had people to talk to me about their relationship with their spouse is just, they just tolerate one another. And I said, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be great. I mean, it can be wonderful. I told Gwen this morning, I said, you know, it seems like that my brother and his wife are getting along better than they've ever got along. They've been married 50 years. She said, boy, it took a long time, didn't it? And she said, it takes a long time. Gwen and I have been married 45 years, and we're going through the best time of our life. I tell you what, when your nest gets empty, you just do as you please. You can eat anytime you want to. You can go out and eat anytime you want to. You can watch, well, If you watch two different TVs, you can watch anything that you want to on TV. So you can make it good. I listened to a little deal on James Dobson a while back where this lady was talking about spending quality time with her husband. And she said, I wasn't a hunter. I'd never gone hunting with him, but he always wanted me to. And she said, I decided to spend quality time. I'm going to give him quality time. That's why I'm going to go hunting with him. So she said, we got up early before daylight, packed everything in the car. He was so excited he couldn't hardly stand himself. She said, we drove to the woods to his deer stand. We climbed up in this deer stand in the dark before it came daylight. We sat there. Never saw a thing. Never heard a thing. Spent all morning. She said, I'm thinking about what a waste of time. And she said, finally, he said, well, it's too late in the day now. We might as well go. Climbed down out, got in the car. Said he turned and looked at her and he said, you are awesome. He said, it's the best time I've ever had in my life. And she's thinking, now, I'm not a deer hunter, so I can't really identify with that. But I can identify with the relationship. Your daughter may want to shop. Your son may want to golf or go hunting. Your wife may want to do something totally different than that. And your husband may want to do something totally different than that. Finally, guys and gals, make a list. What are some things that you know that your spouse would love for you to do with them? What would that be? Now, some of you are making a mental list right now, but make a list. If you want to improve your relationship, you make that list. And then you carry it out. And you say, I've got too much dude to go to Branson. I've got all this. No. What are we talking about that's important here? It's that relationship. And then make a different list for your children. Now, my kids are grown. They have so many activities that it's difficult for us to be a part of everything that 13 grandchildren do. But when my girls were home, we went on dates. And I took my girls on dates. And we would go, just me and one of them. And I'd let them pick the place. And many times I would call and make arrangements at the school for me to pick them up out of school early. And I'd pick them up and we would go to their favorite place to eat. And we would spend that quality time together and them being able to talk to me. And if you know how hard it is for me to communicate, and it was harder back in those days than it is now. I don't know how my girls look at that, but I look back on that as being the very best days, single days of my life, was when I would spend that one-on-one with my children. And then my wife and I go on dates. The good thing about this empty nest deal is that you can date two or three times a week. But we go on dates, and we have we plan on dates, and we do that. And I really urge you, men, you don't get too old to do that. if you don't get too old to work on that relationship with your spouse. Let's stand together.